Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Small business owner with big dreams but feeling stuck in the daily grind, then it's time to become the superhero of your own success story with me, Sheena Wyatt at Kapow Coaching. I'm here to help you fight off the villains of time, stress and overwhelm, and together we'll cut through the chaos, bring clarity to your path and unlock your true potential. If you're ready to step into your superpower and lead your business victory, then let's connect and start your journey to greatness today.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs podcast. This is, I believe, episode 5, but don't quote me on that one because I've lost count. But I am Jo O'Neill. I'm the community leader for the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs Facebook group and the host of this little podcast. Today, I am joined by Ian Clegg. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Jo, and thanks very much for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, would you like to give yourself a little introduction and tell us who you are and what you do?
So, yeah, I'm Ian Clegg, and I run a network for the care sector and their suppliers. That's the briefest introduction that I can give on it. It's a lot more than I make out. We started off as a Facebook group through frustration, really. My ADHD and dyslexic brain took over and went, this is not right. We need to do something about this. So I did back in 2020 during lockdown, because my business basically disintegrated overnight. Well, actually in a 10-hour drive back from Plymouth, because I do nutrition and catering management for the care sector. And yeah. I was working in the care home down there. And I was driving back up when the little bug arrived and everyone rang me and said, we're going to have to cancel. We'll postpone it till May. I don't know which May they were talking about.
It may be.
Maybe. Who knows? But I noticed that there was this massive disconnect within the care sector, both from a supplier to provider perspective, but also from within. And I just got this. I see things very quickly.
Yeah.
See the big picture of things very quickly. I always explain that it's like the Big Bang. All this matter comes in.
Yeah.
Goes, and then goes, boom. And it's like, that's what we need to do.
It's like, this is your idea. Now go find the minutia.
Exactly. Absolutely. So I set it up as a Facebook group back in 2021, then some 2020, then 20. But we went back into lockdown again in December, as we all know. And I thought I need to do something else because we've been playing okey-cokey with lockdown and I didn't know whether I was going back out on the road or not. So yeah. I actually set it up as a business. And then fast forward to November, somebody said, can't we have our own own platform like LinkedIn and Facebook, but for the care sector?
Yeah.
Specifically, so I said yes because that's what I do.
Then we came off the
yeah, absolutely. And then we came off the networking call, and I went, "Oh, this could get interesting." As Candy crushes my IT limit, but we're there, and we have. That's one of the things we do. We're just about to start doing in-person events. Our first event is on the 19th of September in Manchester. Then we've got another one in December in London, and things are just starting to really expand.
Yeah.
And we do so much.
You just keep adding things to it.
All the time. In March, I got a Graham. Everyone needs a Graham. So I managed to get access to work funding that I didn't find out about until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I've only been working since I was like, 13 as a chef and then doing other things. And only found out 2 years ago that I could actually get some support. I had a couple of people who I think are frightened off.
Did you tell them the big picture?
I did. They said to me, they asked me the wrong question. They said to me, what needs doing, right?
Ah.
So I showed them the 9 mind maps that I couldn't fit on the screen.
Yeah.
And went, there you go. That's what we need to do. And they went, oh, okay. I'm like, you're never going to ask that question again, are you? But then in March, I got a Graham and he has been, as I said on a post the other day, I wouldn't say life-saving, but he's been sanity-saving, that's for sure.
That's always important.
Yeah, and I say, so I'll come up with stuff and I'll go to Graham, oh, let's do this. And he'll say, yeah, but let's put this in the box.
It's like, we're doing this right now.
Yeah, let's focus on this, and then we can go back to that. We know it's going to happen, and yes, I agree with you. Yes, we're going with that. Or sometimes he says, maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's somebody that there is now supporting me in what I do. And yeah, I couldn't the difference that we've gone from March to now is massive. And it's as he said to me though, and a few other people have said, you've built the foundations. You've done all the digging, you've put in all the groundwork, it's all there. Now let's build the houses and everything else on top.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been and I think that it's finding that right person as well.
It absolutely is. I mean, some of my clients, I've had clients who we don't quite mesh, we don't quite get there. And other ones that like we're off for us as a start. But yeah, there's lots of different types of help, there's lots of different people, but you finding that right person will just skyrocket everything.
Yeah. And it's finding that right person that understands you, I think, as well.
Yeah,
it is. That's what I came to with this now in mind, is that it's not a case of finding somebody. It's finding someone that understands you as a person, especially being neurodiverse or any other disabilities for that matter, because there's lots of things involved that a lot of people don't understand, even like with people with physical disabilities, the pain levels, their mood swings, things like that, because of that. And I used to live there as well. I used to live in that space because my mom took a drug called Primidos, which left me with some birth defects. Nothing massive compared to some of the people out there that it affected. But with me, my biggest one was my back.
Yeah.
Right. The pain, I used to live in pain levels of around 9, which most people would probably be in bed or not in bed. They're
screaming, crying.
Yeah. My average on an average day was probably 7 or 8 pain level. And then I got introduced to another company that I got involved with because of that, which is the Super Patch company. And I wear a patch every day now. And I don't take painkillers anymore. I used to take 16 a day. Now, that's helped me with my thought processes and cognitive need as well, because I'm not loading my body up with opiates. Oh, it helps to concentrate when you're not on opiates.
It does.
So yeah, I mean, it's very much a case of finding that right person that understands you and can work with you rather than you trying to fit into them.
Yeah.
I think that's really important if people listening, if they're going to be looking for people to help them with support, is finding that person that gets you rather than you trying to get them.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm speaking to potential clients, I often get that, so how do you work? It's like, no, that's not the question. It's how do you want to work? So long as I can fit it in with everything else I'm doing, we're good.
Yeah, it's like I always I said to Graham right at the beginning, you need to tell me what you need me to do for you to help me to do what I need to do.
Yeah, it's very much a back and forth conversation.
You know, and he's like, okay. It's like, I know what's there, but you actually need to tell me what you need me to do for you to be able to do what you need to do.
Yeah. And so I have very a couple of clients that got ADHD, and it's very much they will give me a brain dump, and then we will sort through it together, what needs doing now, what needs doing later, and then we'll break them down. It's what do I need to do this for you? And yeah, it's very much a back and forth. And then, of course, you've got to send a little reminders going, right, I'm waiting for this. I need this now. Can I have this by this date? And then things
appear. Don't give me massive deadlines either.
I work to my deadlines because I don't have clients who give hard deadlines very often. So it's like I give myself a deadline, and then if I'm waiting for something, I'm waiting for something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much a case of if you tell me it needs to get done next week, then it's getting started next week.
Yeah.
And I was like that at university as well. Again, at university, they never asked me the right question or gave me the right support because they just kept giving me extra time. Yeah. And it was nothing to do with time. Because if they gave me till next Monday morning at 9 o'clock, it was still getting started next Friday, Sunday morning at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
It wasn't the extra time that I needed. It was that I have problems putting stuff down on paper. That's my dyslexic side. But starting it.
Yeah. I always have that problem.
Once I've got that bit done, once I can get those first couple of lines, and whether that's talking to somebody and they type it out or something like that, that my brain then can catch up.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the big things I've had around the support I got at university. They gave me Dragon.
Oh, yeah. I've asked for that on Access to Work.
It's going back a while. I was a mature student. I only graduated in 2009, but they gave me Dragon, and they gave me it 2 weeks before uni started and told me that I needed to read 6 books into it. I laughed, right? And then they told me, because I was doing a science degree, that I needed to then actually read 2 scientific books into it so that I understood scientific words. So, yeah, that spent 4 years sat on the shelf.
Can imagine that.
So, yeah, that was a complete waste. Even when I spoke to Access to Work and they started going on about speech-to-text recognition stuff, and I said to them, it's a different thought process.
Yeah.
The way you speak to the way you write is completely different.
I kind of write the way I speak.
You know? And it's a completely different thought process that goes into the way that you do it. And I said, if that was the problem, I would have solved that by now, because Word actually has speech to text software built into it. So that is not the issue. The issue is taking what I say and putting it into something that people can read and go, all right, that's what you meant by that, in written format.
Yeah, I get that. So, yeah, it needs to be a little bit more advanced.
Yeah. So we're doing so much. One of the biggest things we're doing next year, and I've said it within my network, and we're going to be saying it again on Thursday down at the event in Manchester. But one of the biggest things we're doing is we're setting up a foundation.
Yeah.
To provide training and support for unpaid carers.
That's
a massive resource that's needed. It is a massive resource that's needed. And when we look at it, they reckon by 2026, there's going to be around 10.6 million registered unpaid carers.
Yeah.
Now, I know that number's low as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because of people I know.
Yeah. And I imagine there's a lot of unregistered ones as well.
No, that's what I mean. That's unregistered.
Yeah.
But what the reason that they're unregistered is because they don't see themselves as a carer. They see themselves as a spouse or a partner or a mother or a father or something like that. And they don't seek out help. And there's two types, many things that they care for, but there's two types. There's instantaneous and progressive. right? You're instantaneous, your brain injuries, strokes, things like that. You're progressive with things like autism and dementia.
Yeah.
Right. There's many more out there, obviously. I'm just picking on those three just from a time-wise perspective. But if the person that you're looking after, if they were to go into care, you would expect that the people that are in that environment to have all this training and support, training to be able to support the person you're looking after. Whereas if you're an unpaid carer, you don't get that.
No, you just go and go.
And we've got this big network of care professionals and suppliers to the sector that can provide that training and support and understanding.
Yeah.
That we can utilize to pass over onto the unpaid carers and give them that support network, yeah, to be able to understand what's going on.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
Attention, all business owners. Are you ready to elevate your marketing game? Meet Escape the Village, based in the heart of Wiltshire and with national coverage. With over 30 years of experience, Liz and her team specialise in crafting tailored marketing strategies just for you. From websites to SEO and content creation to social media management, we have everything you need to grow your business. Whether you're in rural, equine or the agricultural sector, we understand your unique challenges and are here to support you. So why wait? Visit escapethevillage.com today and let us help you escape ordinary marketing.
That kind of goes into my next question, which is the one question we ask everybody on all our podcasts for the Business Success Network, and we never get the same answer twice, which is, what does business success look like to you?
Remember the 9 mind maps that I told you about?
Yeah. Is it having everything in like working order and running?
Yeah, it's... So again, if we just go back to the network, when I do, I tend to simplify things down because especially a lot of neurotypical people don't get me anymore. They go, you need to slow down because that's too big. And I go, no, I was told to speed up for the first like 15 years of my life, so now you can play catch up.
I like that.
But no, it's what I want to do is massive. It's changing the way that we care for people, but not just the way that we care for people that need care, way that we care for the people that deliver care, that supply care, that supply into the care sector. And we're a world that's living longer now. If you think back to 1905, the average age was about like 35, 40.
Yeah.
It's now up into the 79, 80, right?
Yeah.
And it's going up. Just to give you an idea, in 1951, the Queen wrote 300 100th birthday cards.
Yeah.
By 2030, right, there is, whoever is in then, is going to write over 35,000.
Wow. That's a lot.
Right. So we are living longer, but also because we're living longer, we are living longer in an ill state. And we need to change what's going on. So for me, it's about making that change. Business success for me will be when we can all start working together to actually achieve stuff.
Yeah.
Money has never been a massive driver for me.
It never is for anybody that we ask.
Right. To my detriment sometimes. And I have been working on that. I do realize that, because I sat on a board once of a charity and told them, you have to charge money, because if you can't pay your bills, you can't support anyone else. And then I did the same for myself, right? Yeah. So I do now need to start looking at what I'm doing from a business perspective, but I want to be able this to be something that well outlives me.
Yeah.
You know, that this isn't about me. You know, I've created this monster that I now need to make work.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have people like Graham and Marianne, who is one of the directors, who is also ADHD. So you can imagine our conversations sometimes.
I can. They're amazing.
But yeah, it's much bigger. They think outside the box. As one of my mates says to me, I don't even know where the box is, right?
There's a box.
I actually do training for to help managers support people that they work with, that they care for, that they work with, that are neurodiverse. Yeah. And one of the pictures I've got is a picture of the universe, and there's an arrow at the bottom left-hand corner going, me. And then there's a bottom at the top right-hand corner going, the box. And that's the way that things are with me. It's very much a case of, I want to make things good and I want to make people's lives better.
Yeah. That's a good driving force. And it's like, boil it down to something so simple, but you know where you're going. I said, you've got to be able to pay your bills and everything, which is where everyone says, as long as the bills are paid, I'm good, but this is what I want to do and this is why. I find that really powerful, especially in the disabled community. They're like, yeah, bills are paid, but this is what I'm doing. Because like many of us, 25% of businesses are run by disabled people.
Yeah.
Usually because it's the only way we can work, because the world is not made for us. But there's such drive there, and it's like I could just sit and wallow and no, I'm going to do this. I've got an idea. That's always dangerous, because people will say, no, you can't do that. And that is the worst thing that anyone can ever say, because that just makes everybody more determined.
Absolutely. You know, I think especially neurodiverse people look at stuff and go from a social injustice point of view and go, this just isn't right.
Yeah.
This needs to change. You know, and a lot of the time we try and change things, if you try and change things from within, it doesn't work. No. You know, I mean, when I did my dietetic degree, I got asked by one of the chief dietitians, so what is it you want to do? And I said, oh, I want to go into geriatric dietetics. And she went, why? And I said, because it's an area that I'm passionate about. And she went, well, she says, you'll be a chief dietitian within 3 years.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, why is that? And she says, because you want to go into geriatrics. No one does, because it's not sexy. And also because you're a guy. And there are not very many guy dietitians. In fact, I was the only undergraduate in 2 years either side of me. Right. There was plenty of postgrads because they were going into sports dietetics.
Yeah.
Right, which apparently is sexy, right?
I can see why that would be,
And she said to me, but why though? Why do you want to get asked? Because I want to change the way nutrition's delivered to the elderly. And she went, don't join the NHS.
That's fair.
She said, it's far too big. You won't change anything. You'll get frustrated and you will end up pulling your hair out.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it, is all of these. I mean, when you think about the care sector, if we take the care sector as a whole, it employs 1.8 million people, which is more than the NHS.
Yeah.
There are 60,000 care businesses.
Wow.
Right, across the UK. It's massive. It's the biggest sector and biggest employer in the country. As a whole,
I'd say that's amazing and wow. But considering we have an aging population, as well as a lot of disabilities, especially after COVID, I'm not surprised, actually.
Yeah. And there's more coming every day. People setting up different things every day. So, yeah, there's a couple of things in the pipeline that I'd love to talk about, but I don't.
My next question is, what's your plans for the future? But apparently you can't tell me.
I can tell you something.
World domination.
World domination. Absolutely. Right. I mean, well, it's funny you should say that, but it isn't far from the mark, because I've been asked by people in other countries if I'm going to set up the network over there.
Yeah.
Because from a care perspective, they're open. A care home will use or have available to it, if they put everything in place, over 900 different types of supplier.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
This is where a lot of people in business miss a trick. And I joined the FSB not so long ago, and I'm picking up people that are coming and joining the Care Connector network, because when I say about the numbers,
yeah,
people go, why are we not in that sector? We don't talk about care, that's why.
Yeah, no, we don't.
So care is something that is a reactive need, right? And it's something that we also want to help to get that message out there as well to schools and stuff like that, that care isn't something that happens later on in life.
Yeah,
because you never know. As I said, instantaneous carers. My partner, she works for Headway Ayrshire, and one of her clients' lives would have been absolutely fine and dandy. Everything would have been rocking and rolling at work, on holidays, whatever they were doing, and like that, their life's just been turned upside down.
Yeah.
So we never know, and as I said, we only go looking for care when we need care. We don't look for care beforehand. We don't talk about it. It's not something that we talk about in this country, the same as we don't talk about death.
Yeah.
But one of the two or both is going to happen to every single person.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, no, it's not talked about.
So we need to do that. We need to get out there. We need to also get people to understand that care is a profession, and that it's a good job, and there's a lot of things you can do in care, and it's not just about caring for somebody. There's so many more things that are involved. If you think about what you've got out there in a care home, you've got three businesses, you don't have one. You've got a hotel, you've got a healthcare center, and you've got a business side of the business.
Yeah.
And if your product or service fits into any one of those three, then you should be talking to the care sector. There's not very many people out there that there isn't. I've had LinkedIn people go to me, well, I do LinkedIn. How is that going to fit into care? Care sector is not my market. What? So the 7,000 people on my LinkedIn, not people you want to speak to, no?
Yeah.
Or a wine merchant that I sell wine. And I went, what? And the 1.8 million people that work in care don't drink wine.
Yeah. Pretty sure they do, especially if they've had a long
time. I'm sure they do. Right? In fact, I know that they do. But that's not my sector.
Yeah, I get that.
Care. Now I'm starting to open up people's minds and eyes that, hold on a minute. Yes, what I do does actually fit in. There. Yes, it does fit in there.
Suppose that's one of the things when you're running a business that everybody says, oh, you've got to niche down. Who are you talking to? And therefore, you get this tunnel vision and you can't see the possibilities.
Absolutely. I mean, I take the people, it's funny, when they come on, I do a networking session every Wednesday morning. Everyone's welcome. It's an open session. It's free to everyone. But when I go, when they say, I say, who are you looking to speak to? Oh, I'm looking to speak to whoever it might. I'm like going, you're not looking to speak to everyone at all. Right? And then I go into a networking session and people go, who are you looking to speak to? Anyone? But I can, because I run a network.
Yeah. Anyone and everyone, please give me the details.
But yeah, absolutely. And it's that whole thing of people miss care.
Yeah.
I want to, so I suppose the big vision is to make people understand that from a business perspective, that care is a massive area that they could go into.
Yeah.
From a caring perspective, that we change care. And that's something that's on the cards in one of the little boxes on Graham's shelf that I don't want to talk about in a minute, just in case.
All right. Don't jinx
somebody
it.
Goes and does it over the top, which has happened to me in the past where I've said about things. The foundation, I think, is going to take up quite a bit of time.
Teeny tiny bit.
But I just want to, I don't know, I just want to leave the world a better place than, than it is now. Then again, that's not really difficult. We can.
That's not how far. How about better than it used to be?
Yeah. But yeah, it's all about improving things, but not just improving things for the sake of improving them, actually making a difference.
Yeah.
I'm putting the wheels in motion to make a difference long after I'm gone.
Yeah. That is a fantastic goal to have. I wish you the best of luck in that. And you seem determined, so I think you'll at least manage some of those goals, if not everything, and the rest will come, even if it's after you're gone. All right, Mike, I've got one more question.
Go on, then.
Do you have a top tip to share? This can be business, life, or your specific sector.
I think my top tip is ask for help, ask for support. There are people out there that want to help. Every Monday morning, we started watching a program, me and my partner Linda, a while ago called New Amsterdam.
Yep.
And in the first scene, he comes into the hospital. And he gets all the heads of department into the auditorium and he says, what can I do to help you? Right? And they all just look at him because no one likes to ask.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm serious. What can I do to help? Right? And he's the new medical director. And she went, that's you. You always want, and then as the program goes on, she says, definitely, that's, you would do that, you would do that. Because it's all about wanting to make that change. So I ask every Monday morning on the network, okay, it's Monday morning, what can I do to help? Right? So not just ask, but engage.
Yeah.
Right. Take that pride hat off and ask for help and engage with people. I'm not sure how many is in your network at the minute.
We're on 300 and something in the disabled entrepreneurs. There's thousands in the main one.
Yeah. And I've got 3,000 in on the Facebook group. Yeah. And then I've got around 700 over on the platform, which is the paid for area. Trying to get people to engage, it's really difficult.
It can be, yeah. Some people really like to engage, but all of a sudden they'll go quiet as well because life's got busy. But yeah, generally getting people to engage when you go, no, really, I want to know.
Absolutely. I see the stuff that you put up and I try and engage where I can. And it's... it is about asking. I put up at the bottom of my thing today, somebody said to me, and I'll read it to you because otherwise I'll forget what it actually says. And I put up on that bit of the post, I said what people have asked me for in the past week or so.
Yeah.
Either a question or a comment. And I said, wait until we get to the bottom because the bottom one's the best, right? Someone said, and this somebody said this to me down at the Dementia Summit in London last week. What do you actually do for a living? I know you run a Facebook group and go to the shows, but what's your actual job? And I said, well, besides organizing events, creating collaborations, running the platform, managing the Facebook group, attending shows to report back, connecting with the members to bring you discounts, running weekly networking sessions, finding suppliers, hosting podcasts, sitting on boards and planning some exciting things for the next 12 months, absolutely nothing. Just play Candy Crush.
Yeah. I also do absolutely nothing other than a whole bunch of stuff.
And that's it, you know. There's so much more to what we're actually trying to do.
There is. And yeah, I agree with your tip of ask for help where you need it.
Ask, but, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for joining me, Ian. It's been a lovely chat. I will put all your links and everything in the show notes so people can find you and help you and be asked questions by you, especially if they're in that sector or they serve that sector, which, as you pointed out, is pretty much everybody. So everybody, please go check them out.
Absolutely. Or if they want to know about, do they actually fit in? Give me a shout. I love to talk.
Yeah. Fabulous. And if you want to join the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs Facebook group, we'd love to have you there as well. Or you can find out about more about the business success in general by going to businesssuccess.co.uk. And you can find all the things that Stacey's got going on. Trust me, it's a lot. I'm involved in that kind of stuff too. But Ian, you've been a fabulous guest. Thank you very much for joining me. And I will see everybody else in the next episode.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.